Hi there, friend. Welcome today to the Carter Report and thanks for joining us. Today we're going to talk about the occult. We're going to talk about evil spirits. We're going to talk about spirits that some people think are the spirits of the dead, but are really the spirits of demons. Join us now at the great Shrine Auditorium as we open up the living Word of God and allow the voice of the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts. Welcome today to the Carter Report.
Prophecy. It's used to peer into the future, but it must be learned from the past. The Carter Report presents Focus on Prophecy. From the Shrine Auditorium in downtown Los Angeles, John Carter unravels the mysteries of Bible prophets and brings modern meaning to this ancient book. And now, John Carter.
Now listen. Notice this. The king didn't see this. You hear this? This was not a resurrection. The king, Saul, the king of Israel, the man who had the Bible, the man who should not have been deceived, the man who should have known what to do to turn to God, he didn't see this thing. And so he says to the woman, "What do you see, lady? What do you see?" And she said, "I saw a spirit, and he's coming up out of the earth." Now that, of course, goes against all the theology of a lot of the churches, because they tell me, and that some people use this to prove that when a person dies, he goes to heaven. But my friend, this being is not coming down from heaven. He's coming up out of the earth, you see. And so she's watching, and this spirit being comes into the meeting, and the spirit being starts to talk. "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." And verse 14, "So he said to her, what is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived, not with the eyes, but with the mind, Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground, and he bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do. I'm a desperate man." Then Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy?" And the next day the king went out and he fought the Philistines, and he became wounded, and he got his own sword, and he flung himself upon his own sword and took his own life. It's a tragic story. So here you've got a man, you could say he is a great leader of God's people. He is the king. He's a man who is a prestigious man, but he's also a desperate man. And when people get desperate, unless they know the truth, they do desperate things, and they sometimes do stupid things. And this man, instead of going to God, he goes along to a person who believes that she can get in contact with the dead. Like millions of people tonight in the Western world and all around the world, in the heathen countries too, people are going by the millions. The greatest movement today in the United States of America among Christians and people who are related somewhat to Christianity, the greatest movement is to say, "I want to get in contact with the powers, the great powers of the universe. And I want to get in contact also with the powers of the dead." Now listen, the king was not talking to Samuel. Do you know who the king was talking to? Do you know who the woman was talking to? Do you know what it was? The Bible tells you what it was. The witch tells you what it was. It was a spirit, a masquerading demon. It was one of the fallen angels. It was one of the angels in rebellion against God, sent by Lucifer to damn the soul of the king of Israel. And he succeeded. Can you hear what I'm saying tonight? Can you hear this? Listen. Unless you and I understand clearly with these minds that Almighty God has given us, unless we understand what the Word of God has to say on these subjects, you and I are going to be deceived. And millions of people are deceived. And whenever I take a meeting like this, it doesn't matter in what country I take a meeting like this, people come to me after the meeting and they say, "We know what you said from the Bible, but..." We know what you said from the Bible, but I have seen my wife. I have seen my little baby. As the lady said to me in Parks when I was first running lectures just out of college, she came to me and she heard this, but she said, "It can't be true." She said, "I lost my little baby." And she said, "I've been praying to God. And every night when I get into bed, my little baby materializes and gets into bed with me." And the lady was not crazy. She was not crazy. These things happen to people, and people say, "Well, this is how God is working." They are not working with God. They are being deceived. Can I say to you tonight, we are in the midst of a tremendous battle. There is a battle going on for the minds of men and women. There are cosmic forces that are battling tonight for your soul. And there's only one way, listen to me, there's only one way that you can break the forces that are battling for your soul, and that is to take Christ in. Take Christ in. Take Christ in. Take Christ into your life, because He is the Lord. You see? He's the Lord. Let me talk a little about some other occult manifestations. There are the Ascended Masters. I ran a series of lectures some years ago in the great city of Melbourne, in the southern part of Australia, in the great Dallas Brooks Theatre. And I had such a wonderful audience of people who came. And a man came to me with his wife, and they said, "We want to give you these papers. They'll impress you." So they gave me these papers, and I took them home, and I get a lot of papers, and I try to read whatever I can. And there it told basically what I was going to be talking to the people about. It gave basically an outline of what I'd be talking to the people about. And these people said, "We love your meetings. We are inspired by your meetings. But we want to tell you something. We've come to your meetings because we have been sent to get you." I said, "What do you mean, get me?" They said, "Because it has been revealed to us by the Ascended Masters that you are to come onto our side and to come on into our camp, because you can be used by God to win many, many people to our side." And I said, "What is your side? Tell me about the Ascended Masters." They said, "The Ascended Masters have sent a message for you. The Ascended Masters have got a message for you." And I said, "What? Who are the Ascended Masters?" They said, "Oh, these are people who have lived upon this earth. Wonderful people, intelligent people, great Christian people, the saints, and also great television personalities. And these people have died, and they've gone home to be with the Almighty God. And these people come back to us, and we channel in with them. We can communicate with them, and they're talking to us. The people who died are not dead, but they're all around us, and they are sending us messages, and we have a message for you." And I said, "I have a message for you." I said, "I have a message for you." And they said, "What is the message? What is the message?" I said, "My message is from the Word of God, that the Bible says the living know that they will die, but the dead know not anything." And they said to me, "But our beliefs are different to yours." I said, "I don't care if they're different to mine. What I care about is your beliefs are different to the Word of God." And they said to me, "But listen, our beliefs are supported by the old Egyptians. They believe believed it, and the Persians believed it, and the Babylonians believed it, and the Hindus believed it, and the Greeks believed it, and most of the Christians believed it. And I said, the only problem is God doesn't believe it. You see, God doesn't believe it. God doesn't believe it. And I want to say tonight, if there are people here in this great audience, and there are, and by the law of averages, there'll be some. And in all sincerity and honesty, you have somehow got yourself involved in this. I want to say to you tonight, this is going to be the hardest meeting you've ever come to. Because when you get yourself involved in this, you put yourself in the power of mighty spirit forces. And those mighty spirit forces will cloud your mind, and they'll even try to stop tonight your ears from hearing what I'm saying. And I've talked to people who've been involved in these things, and I've read to them texts from the Bible, and they've said to me on a later occasion, we didn't hear a thing you said. We didn't hear a thing you said. You know why they never heard a thing? Because they are under the control of satanic forces. There is only one escape for them, because it has got them by the throat and is going to destroy them. There is only one thing they can do, and that is to say, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Break the bonds, Lord. Help me, God. I'm in too far. Now you say to me, I've had other people say to me, all right, I know that I'm involved with spiritualistic forces, but you say some are good and some are bad. How do you know that the forces that are talking to me aren't good ones? I can tell you very easily, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to God's word, there's no light in them. If they tell you that your dead loved ones are talking to you, they are liars, because they come from the father of lies, you see. A person who contradicts the word of God. People say to me, but you know, today it's so fashionable, so many Hollywood stars believe in reincarnation and all of those ideas. What does the Bible say about reincarnation? Listen, my American friends. In this country, there's a lot of religion, but there's very little knowledge of the Word of God. There's a lot of talk, and there's a lot of religious emotionalism. But I want to tell you folks something. People say, what about reincarnation? Is it taught in the Bible? Go to your Bible. See what it says. The Bible says this. God alone has immortality. If a person is reincarnated one time after a time, that's immortality. The Bible says man is mortal. Immortality at the second coming. The soul dies. The dead are sleeping. And the dead know not a thing. And I want to tell you folks tonight what we need in this country. And in my country, what we need is a mighty turning to God, and turning from paganism and heathenism and the powers of the spirit, and turning our lives over to Jesus. That's what we need. That's what we need. That's what we need. Now, I'm going to answer one question, and then we're going to wrap it up. What about demon possession? Do you really believe in demon possession, somebody says? Do you believe that a person can become filled with an unclean spirit? The answer is, yes, I believe it, because the Bible teaches it. I want you to come over here, please, to a text. I want you to come to page 896. That'll do nicely. 896. Luke chapter 8. Verse 23 and onwards. It tells the story of Jesus when he grappled with the power of Satan. Luke chapter 8 and verse 22 and onwards. It's a great story, and we're going to notice it in some depth. Luke 8, 22 and onwards. Luke chapter 8. Verse 22 and onwards. Have you got that? Okay, we're going to read the story through. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake. They were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. Folks, that's a great story. We're going to read on. But do you know what it tells me? Even when there's a tremendous storm on, and it looks like the boat is going to go down, when it seems as though everything is falling apart, when Jesus comes to us, and when Jesus stands up in the boat and says, "That's enough, let there be peace," there is peace. You see? I want you to know that tonight. It doesn't matter how desperate your situation, if you take Jesus into your life, he's going to come and bring you peace. You see? He's the Lord. He can bring you peace. Now, read on. Verse 25. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Isn't that beautiful? Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him. And he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. He had superhuman, supernatural strength. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now, a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain, and he begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Now listen, and we're going to wrap this up. If you had no other passage in the Bible, that passage tells me that there is a real Christ who's got all power, doesn't it? And it also tells me that there is a world of demons. And those demons can get inside a man or a woman. There are doors that open. There are, let me say it this way. There are activities, listen. There are activities that open the door to demons. Ouija boards, channeling, going to see answers, all of those things, they are activities. Astrology. Oh, astrology, yes, it's a heathen practice. Comes from the Babylonians, cursed in the Bible. It is a means whereby the door is open so that sinister forces can enter the life. That's bad news. But there's good news. The good news is this: Jesus is the Lord over the demons, and Jesus can drive the demons out. You hear this? And if there's a person here tonight, a man or a woman, even a boy or a girl, a teenager, and you have been playing around with channeling or spiritism or any of these occult manifestations, and something is happening to your life tonight, I want to say to you, let Christ come in. Let Jesus come in. Because if Jesus comes in, Jesus is going to drive out the demons. Jesus can do it. But listen to me, Jesus is a gentleman. And Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. The Bible says, Jesus says in Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in." My friend, the catch is this. The lock is on the inside. The handle is on the inside. Jesus Christ will never go to a person and say, "Open up the door, I'm coming in, I'm coming in, I'm going to come in." Jesus never operates like that. Jesus stands outside and he knocks. But the lock, the handle to open the door is on the inside. And you and I are the only ones who can open the door and let Christ come in. And when Christ comes in, he comes in power. And he comes in glory. And he comes in an everlasting life. And he drives out the demons. And he drives out the darkness. And he brings in joy and peace. And he brings happiness. You see, every one of us here tonight, we're involved in this. You're not somebody who can say, "I'm not involved." Every person here tonight is involved in this. We are involved in the struggle for the soul. We're involved in this great battle between the cosmic forces of God and the sinister forces of evil, the forces of evil angels and Satan. And none of us, my friend, can be neutral. We've all got to say, "I'm going to be on the Lord's side, or else I'm going to be on the side of Satan." You can't sit on the fence. You've got to make a decision. "Lord, I'm going to be on your side." And I want to say tonight, I want to say this to you tonight. The best thing that you can do tonight is to say, "Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to open up the door. And I want you to come into my life. And I want you to fill me with your love. I want you to fill me with your spirit. And I want to belong to you tonight. I want to be yours." I want you to pray with me. Would you please? My Father tonight, our Father. What a revelation this has been tonight, Lord. What tremendous truths. We can see tonight, Lord, we are engaged in a cosmic struggle. We can see tonight that the forces of light and the forces of darkness are grappling for the hearts and the minds and the souls of every person on planet Earth, this planet in rebellion. We can see tonight, Lord, and we thank you for this. We can see tonight that Jesus is the conqueror. That Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus is the Master, that even the winds and the waves obey him, and the spirits are forced to come out and to cry, "Surely you are the Son of God." And tonight, Lord, we want to declare our loyalties. We want to say to you, "Christ, come into our hearts. We're going to open the door. We're going to break the lock. We're going to turn the handle. We're going to say, 'Come in, O Christ. Live in our hearts and take us for yourselves. Claim us for yourselves. Fill us with your presence tonight.'" Please, Lord. As we're praying tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed in this great theater, how many tonight would say, "God, I want to be a true follower of Christ. I want Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want Christ to be the King of my life." Would you raise your hand tonight with me and say tonight, "Lord, I want Christ to be in charge of my life. I want to be a true follower of the God of heaven. I want to turn from all manifestations of the occult, from all manifestations of spiritism and channeling, and I want to belong to Christ. Oh, my Father, we've got our hands up tonight because we've made the most important decision, and that is to belong to Jesus. Bless us tonight. And as we go home, may the beautiful peace of Christ go with us and keep us. And at last, when Jesus comes, take us home to the kingdom. For Jesus' sake, amen.